The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 425. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, it's my favorite time of the year, especially when you're talking about sporting events. And when it comes to my favorite sporting event, it is, of course, the NHL's Stanley Cup playoffs, which are starting this weekend. And I'm very excited for it. So, of course, I had to drop a line to my good friend Luke Landry to join me on this episode to talk all about the playoff scenarios, teams that we think might do well in the playoffs, teams that might not fare so well, talk about possible matchups, because at the time of this recording, some of those pairings were a little bit up in the air. The NHL has now more solidified those playoff rounds, but we still kind of run down each team that's made the playoffs and talk about their strengths and weaknesses. And we'll even jump into a discussion about the relocation of the Arizona Coyotes. And if you have listened to many of the previous episodes when Luke has joined me, you know that we both find the Arizona Coyotes to be a complete clown show, and we'll give our true thoughts towards the end of the episode on that relocation plan. And, you know, with that, let me go ahead here real quickly and take care of a little bit of business before I throw it to Luke and I talking about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And that business, of course, ladies and gentlemen, is me thanking World's Greatest Comics. For those that don't know, World's Greatest Comics is a great comic book store and a proud sponsor of this podcast. They've got everything you need for your comic book fandom, whether you're talking about single issues, graphic novels, collections, back issues, toys, various collectibles. They got it all, and if they don't, I am sure the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics will do whatever it takes to get that merchandise in your hands. The crew down there is fantastic. I am so absolutely so thankful that Jeff and the fine folks have been a longtime supporter of this podcast. I really, truly mean it. So check them out. And especially if you're in Central Ohio, you swing on over to the store in Westerville. They're at 5974 Westerville Road. You can check them out online too, wgcomics.com, and they're very active on their Facebook page, so check them out at WG Comics through Facebook. All right, that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Luke Landry and I talk all about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to talk some hockey. Of course, Luke Landry joining me to jump into this discussion. Luke, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm hoping, just because I'm being selfish here, I'm hoping your abs can help out a little bit here. Because your Habs are taking on Detroit, and that would help out Pittsburgh to backpedal their way into the playoffs. You know, and Philly's got to help us out too, but
yeah, no, I'll be honest. I have the game on my phone right. So, I mean, I never, if you told me like a month ago, the last two games the Habs will be playing would be this exciting and this, I wouldn't have believed you. They played Detroit last night. Detroit was able to pull off. I mean, they were losing 4-1. They came back and won it in overtime. And right now it's 3-2 Montreal. So we'll see. We'll see, man. But I did not think that we'd have the luxury of having elimination games at this point in the season.
Yeah, I mean, we are recording this on Tuesday night for the listeners that are listening. And there's still a wild card spot to be determined in the East. When it comes to the West, there's a few teams that might shift, but we know the teams pretty much they're going to be in the playoffs in the West, but they're still battling for some positions out in the West. So far, the NHL has stated there's only one 100% happening series, and that is the Islanders against the Hurricanes. So let's go ahead. Let's talk about that, since that is the one that is guaranteed to happen, despite what might go on this evening. Canes in New York, what are your thoughts on that matchup?
God, the Islanders, kind of like Detroit right now, it's a huge question mark, right? I mean, I think it's one of the teams, other than the Oilers, that where the coaching change really made a difference, because they were going down, they were out of a playoff spot, and eventually they were able to get that third spot in the Metro Division. So basically, they've already been in playoff mode for a couple of weeks, whereas Carolina hasn't. And even if I'm not mistaken, they were in sort of a slump just a few weeks ago. So we'll see. But it's Carolina, I don't know, man. It really is a hard one. It's a hard one to figure out.
It is, because when you talk about the Islanders, I think inconsistency is the word that you could use to describe their entire season. They've had flashes of brilliance, and Sorokin has stood on his head and been fantastic again this year. But then they would just go into these slumps that it was, oh my. And you're right. Patrick Waugh comes. They tinker around with the lineup a little bit. I think it was Waugh's idea to play more of Matt Barzal, if I'm not mistaken.
And which isn't a bad idea.
No. Which is the smart ass in me wants to go, yeah, no shit. Like, exactly. The best player you have on the team, playing more. But I just feel that the Canes are going to have probably an easy time of dispatching the Islanders, because I think the Canes are getting out of that slump that they were in a few weeks ago. People are clicking now. I mean, Gensel's fit in so well down there with Seth Jarvis on the other wing and Aho in the middle, that I think that they're a deep team as well. I think that they're going to clearly get out of the first round beating the Islanders.
Yeah, I think the part of that's going to be interesting is to see, because my feeling is that the Islanders' bottom six might be not necessarily stronger, but better balanced than the Hurricanes' bottom sixes, where they try to get scoring. Islanders have been more of a shutdown bottom six for the last few years, and I mean, and Sorokin to me is gonna have to be the difference, whereas I'm not convinced that and goaltending was an issue again this year for Carolina. So I'm not convinced goaltending wise that Carolina wins that battle, so we'll see.
Is Freddie Anderson back? I think he is, isn't he?
I think he was back. Yeah
Okay. Yeah. Well, it remains to be seen how he rebounds from being out for the amount of time that he has been out. Well, let's go to the other New York team that clinched the President's Trophy. Anymore, Luke, why does anyone want to clinch the President's Trophy? Because the curse seems to be real, man. After last year, you cannot convince me that curse is not real.
Yeah. Well, the good things about the Rangers, I watched a couple of the games last week. They had one against the Canadiens, and they're looking like a playoff team, right? So a lot of times when you see those President's Trophy winners, they're sort of cruising through the last month because they don't have to worry. Even if they go in a slump, even if they know they're making the playoffs, they have enough points. But the Rangers did not look like that type of team last week. So I guess that might be on the plus side for them. And I mean, honestly, as far as Eastern teams go, they're probably the best overall team at every position. They don't have that many holes. Maybe depth could be the difference for them. But, I mean, they're strong in goal. They have a solid defense, great top six. So, I mean, there's no wonder why they're at the top. and they've been playing some really good hockey. Kreider's been playing. I hate to say that. Not one of my favorites, but Kreider's been playing good. Zibanejad's been playing some good hockey. Lafreniere, finally, their first overall pick over the last few years. A lot of people wanted him to be traded, but he's been progressing year after year. He's having a great year this year. So it's I know they're at the top, but they're probably going to be the hardest team to beat out of the East.
I agree with that second statement, but I'm not so sure that I agree with you when you say that the Rangers are maybe the most complete team. I think the Boston Bruins in the East, even with the departure of Bergeron and Krejci, I still think they're very solid. I think they have enough depth. I think they have special teams clicking like crazy. Goaltending, I mean, it is what it is. I still think I'm not sold that Ullmark is the way to go. Swayman, I think, is the better goaltender, just in my humble opinion. But they continue to kind of do that tag team, if you will. I think the Rangers, though, do have the tools to go far. And obviously, they're going to get a wild card team. They're either going to get Detroit or Washington. I'm going to say Calgary. Washington, Pittsburgh. They're gonna get one of those wild card teams. Which you never know with those wild card teams. They could be incredibly spent and not at 100% because they've been in playoff mode for the last couple of weeks, or they could come in red hot, and that could cause problems for teams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll see about that last wild card spot. Washington and Pittsburgh, maybe. But honestly, I mean, it's my second night in a row watching Detroit. I mean, some shifts, they look like the team that wants to make it to the playoffs. Other times, I mean, they're not there. And the Flyers have just been so freaking awful that, you know, as you look at them go, like, seriously, that team is make. Last week, I watched, they played against the Habs, and I watched a couple of games they played. And, I mean, it's like, you guys know what the defensive zone coverage is, because you're not doing it at all. I mean, at all. So they don't. Most of them don't look like teams that really want to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, and Philly was weird because they were sellers at the trade deadline, but yet they somehow managed to stay somewhat in the wild card hunt. Which I scratched my head and I was like, how is this happening? He got rid of some integral pieces to that team, but yet they're still managing to stay relevant. I don't know. They were an enigma, to say the least, this year.
The one that I really like. Usually they don't go as far, but the the TV channel threw some shade at Philadelphia, because they go like, okay, what does each team have to do in order to try to win this game? And the one thing that apparently the Flyers had to do was to forget the last seven games, and they lost that game 9-3. So at the end of the game, it's like, you know, check mark, did they make it or not? But it was, they ended up going like, yeah, maybe they should forget the last eight games, focus on the next one. I thought that one was pretty good, but yeah, it's I don't know. And you know, I remember when Columbus was just like barely making it, but they were fighting for like a month. You know, even the Islanders a couple of years ago, when they just barely made it to the playoffs, they've been fighting and fighting and fighting. And I'm not feeling it for most of these teams that are trying to somehow squeeze into that eighth spot. It's weird.
Well, I will speak on behalf of the Pens, being a fan. They have really played very good hockey over the last 2 weeks, but too little too late at this point was my sentiment. I mean, I think they had points. Oh, geez, in six of their last seven or something like that, they got points. But at that point, it was a little too late as far as I was concerned. And I will say this, though. Michael Bunting has really fit in well. No one can replace Jake Guentzel, but he's doing a darn good job of being real close to being just like Jake on that wing with Malkin.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the player's name was. And he played for Anaheim. Then he played quite a while with Pittsburgh, and he was doing such a good job with Crosby that they actually put him on Team Canada, which normally he wouldn't have made. Man, I can't remember his name, but Bunting to me is a bit of that type of player. If you put him alone, he's not going to be able to generate much, and probably even he'll do some horrible stuff by just punching somebody in the head for no reason, like he did a couple of times in Toronto. But if you put him with better players and he has to step up and he has to get his nose dirty in front of the net, and that's where he's going to be a good player.
And that's where he scored. I think he's got five right now with the Pens, five or seven. I'm not sure which. I know it's an odd number, and he's getting them all in that dirty zone where you're going to get your nose dirty, you're going to get hacked and whacked, and he's all about it. But
look at Hyman. He's at 50 goals, and like 35 of them came within 2 feet of the goal line. I mean, it works, but you got to be ready to pay the price.
Sticking with the East, I think Tampa is the most dangerous team in the Eastern Conference. I feel like they are playing really good hockey, and that certainly, I think, does not bode well for their opponents.
No, they've been quiet this year. I think they were off to a bad start. Vasilevsky was injured, if I'm not mistaken. Yes,
correct. Beginning
of the year, which seems so long ago now. Montreal played them a couple of times in the last few weeks, and there's nothing spectacular. They're just effective. I think for them, the biggest question mark is probably their bottom six, because they had to let a lot of players go. But Paul has been doing a great job, even if they didn't sign, what's his name?
Not Nick Paul. Are you talking about Nick Paul's
line mate? Nick Paul. Yeah, Nick Paul's been doing some good job, but he played for St. Louis, then he was with Tampa.
Oh, Pat Maroon.
Pat Maroon. Yes. There you go. Yeah. So, and even Johnson a few years ago. I mean, they've lost some really good players on their last two lines, but that top six is just Kucherov. I mean, he seems to be like the slowest player on the ice, but he's everywhere and he always has the puck and it's just ridiculous. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's Stamkos' last year on his contract. So, I'm thinking he's going to give it all he's got. So they're sort of like the slow burner, if you will.
Well, and Kucherov seems to defy time, as does Stamkos. Both of those, they seem like you know how old they are, but you sit there and go, it doesn't seem like they're that age. They are still running and gunning and playing great hockey, and it's just a miracle, I guess. I don't know. They have one hell of a training regimen is all I can say.
Yeah, no. And even Stamkos, I think he was fairly healthy this year, which has always been sort of an issue with him. Mm-hmm. So that definitely helps. I think their D were the guys that got hurt the worst this year. I think Hedman missed a couple of games. Sergachev has been out for quite a while now. But again, I mean, that team goes down so deep that it's, you miss a guy, you put him in. Vasilevsky's probably the one that hurt them the most when he was out, but they're like their slow burner team. So the Rangers, they have some pizzazz. They, you know, you'll see them Boston from time to time, but it just seems like you never see highlights of the Lightning. They got a slow start, but they're there, you know?
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the last possible matchup that may happen. Again, I think it's 90% going to happen. That would be the Florida Panthers against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I know with your disdain for Toronto that you got to like this possibility in the first round, right?
I'm curious if they're chanting we want Florida this year. didn't work out for them last year. I mean, out of a lot of teams, they're probably the two teams that have changed the least, them and Tampa. I mean, they're basically the same teams. Toronto, I mean, they changed their GM. They went out and got Klingberg. I mean, you don't need Klingberg. That's not the type of defenseman you need. You need a defensive defenseman. They haven't gotten out and to do that. Florida, when everything's going their way, they're great. But if they sort of hit a slump, it seems to be really hard for them to get out of that slump. So I think they've managed, because I've watched quite a few of their games, and they managed to get out of those slumps within one game because of their talent. But if you slow down too much, like they have a tendency to do, that's going to cost you in the playoffs.
I got to be honest. I haven't watched the Panthers game at all. I've only seen highlights. And from what I saw, I thought that they looked like the cup contender that they were last year. So I may have a little bit of a skewed view. You've watched more games than I have of Florida. So can they come out of the East, in your opinion?
The word I was looking for is attitude, which seems to be if the attitude's right and if they're feisty, they'll have a very good chance of making a run like they did last year. But if they sort of fall into this complacency attitude, which I've seen a couple of times this year, that's the one that's probably going to get them in the long run. But they definitely have the goods to go far. And then it depends on which Bobrovsky you're going to get. You know, mm-hmm. Are you going to get the one you had last year, or mm-hmm. are you going to get the one that has a tendency to show up every now and again?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, goaltending, man, goaltending.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't think has Spencer Knight played more than a handful of games this year for Florida.
No, he hasn't played that much, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So, yeah, a lot of it has been Bobrovsky, and I forgot the name of the other guy, but he hasn't played that much. I mean, I think he spent more time with the farm team, actually, than with the Panthers. So, but yeah, if you get some good to Bobrovsky, oh, you're going to be pissed. 3-3.
Oh, come on, Montreal, you're letting me down. Come on.
Yeah, that's on their checklist for next year. Okay, how to protect a lead.
All right, well, score update aside, do you have a prediction who might come out of the East for the cup final?
Like I said, I have a good feeling with the Rangers from all the teams that I've seen in the last few weeks. I mean, they're on top. I know a lot of people are rooting for Toronto, but they just put out the same team they did over the last 5 or 6 years. They haven't fixed anything. Their goaltending's questionable. So I'd be comfortable with the Rangers.
I'm going to stick with I'm going to stick with the Bruins. I think that I've been real impressed with the few handful of games I've watched with the Bruins. Like I said, I think that even with Bergeron leaving, retiring, Krejci going, they've added a few pieces at the deadline, including Pat Maroon. He just came back the other night. You know, Charlie Coyle's been playing incredibly well. Marchand's always a pain in the neck to play against. I can see Boston doing it and maybe somewhat redeeming themselves from last year.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If they remember last year, that's probably going to give them an extra kick.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Luke for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, back issues, you name it, they got it. So you need to stop by the store if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can find them online. Their website is wgcomics.com. And they're pretty darn active on their Facebook page. Just search for @WG Comics. Well, let's move out west, in which, as I said before, there could be some moving around a little bit because these teams are all battling for positions. Let's talk about what maybe many people thought was the surprise of the season. Let's talk about the Vancouver Canucks. They've had one hell of a season. And I certainly never saw it coming. How about you?
No, off of last year, I thought they might be fighting for a wild card spot because they do have a lot of good young players. But to have them, I mean, there was that part. Was it like from November to mid January or something? They were just dominating the NHL, mm-hmm. which I did not expect. But a good goaltending, really good goaltending. It's the offense. They really came out, which they didn't last year. I mean, JT Miller's been playing some great hockey as well. Quinn Hughes.
Yeah.
I mean, geez, man, where was that last?
Yeah.
Dominating that blue line. It's nuts. And Thatcher Demko, I don't know if he's back yet. He was injured, but again, I mean, stellar performances. It's, Yeah. I mean, we'll see, but they're definitely the surprise of the year. Yeah.
And I think that the Nashville Predators, I kind of figured that they would make the playoffs, just barely. I just had this feeling from what they did at the trade deadline, what they did at the beginning of the season in terms of, or, you know, through the summer to the beginning of the season, and then what they did at the deadline. I thought, you know what, this is a team that's going to be there. They're probably not going to win. They're probably going to go out first round, maybe make it respectable, 5 games, 6 games, maybe even 7 games. There was just, again, there was just something about Nashville that I couldn't put my finger on. But I just thought they're going to be in the playoffs. And lo and behold, they are.
Yeah. They're the kind of team that'll wear you out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, I wouldn't go all the way saying old school hockey, but much closer to it. You know, they'll just run you down and tie you out and take advantage of the power plays. I mean, Forsberg has had a tremendous year this year, but yeah, it's just like that. Yeah, they remind me of back in the day when they started with, back when Shea Weber was on the blue line and everything. It's just like basic hockey, but you know, we're just gonna wear you out, and as soon as you put your guard down, that's when we'll strike type of team.
And you're right, they're very physical. That fourth line of theirs, McCarron, who's, you know, their center on that line, big dude, and I forget who plays on his wings, but definitely they play that rough and tumble game, which I think catches some teams off guard.
Yeah, and you know, that's playoff hockey, so that's a plus for them. But out in the West, honestly, them, the Jets and the Stars are probably the most physical teams out there, where you really got to keep an eye. Low scores, those are their games. That's the type of games they want to play. But Nashville. Nashville's like always there. You know?
Yes, that was the other thing.
They're there, and they always make a decent run. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't remember them being swept out of 4 games. You know, they have a tendency to make it to 6th, 7th games. So yeah, it's yeah.
That was the other thing I was going to say. They've been there multiple times in the playoffs. They haven't missed a playoffs, I think, in a while. And, you know, you would think that there might have been some, I don't know, some bumpiness to the road of switching from Barry Trotz to Andrew Brunette, but there doesn't seem to be that. It seems like it was a smooth transition, one going to the general manager's office, the other one taking over as the head coach. Nashville, you got to give it to them. They're consistent. They're always going to be in the playoffs. They may not go far, but they're going to be there.
Yeah, but with Barry Trotz back, I mean, it will be interesting to see, because he really set a style of play for such a long time over mm-hmm. there that you still see parts mm-hmm. of that style of play. And I mean, he hadn't been there in a while. He went to Washington, won the cup there, and all that. But it's still the type of team that he set up back in the day. So it's. Mm-hmm. Interesting thing, and those are the proper models if you want to have at least a minimal amount of success. But I'm thinking of the Flyers, where they sort of had that type of model for the longest time, but you're not drafting very high, so you really have to, you got to have a good draft team to go and keep getting some decent players, because you're never picking some of the top players. But you know, if you want some playoff hockey, you're probably going to get some playoff hockey on a regular basis.
Well, let's talk about Winnipeg. You mentioned them. They are more than likely probably going to take on Colorado, which I think is going to be an awesome series. If those two face off, when they faced off in the regular season, it was like an all-out war. And that's, again, we talk about that smash 'em up old school hockey. That's what I love, especially in the playoffs. What are your thoughts on if we see a Jets-Avs series?
You know, for me, that series is like McKinnon, McCarr versus Hellebuck. that's what it is. Yeah. That's what it's going to be. I mean, the firepower that the Avalanche have, the Jets surprised me. I remember saying at the beginning of the year, I mean, they might make it to the playoffs. I did not think they'd have that good of a season. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of issues, mostly dressing room issues over the last few years. So I honestly didn't think they'd be this high up. But I mean, they're a feisty team and they have one of the better goaltenders in the league. So that's always a plus when it comes time to play in the playoffs. But I mean, Colorado, man, when they get it going, just, you can't touch the puck. It's just flying all over the place. They always have a puck possession. It's McKinnon McCarr versus Hellebuck. That's what it's going to be.
But let's talk about the other goaltender though, Georgiev. Mediocre this year would be a good way to describe him. Not as strong as he has been in the past. So I think that for me with Colorado, that's the big question mark.
Yeah, well, kind of last year. That's one of the things. I mean, there was probably fatigue from the run the previous year, but last year goaltending was an issue. I mean that when you see guys like, you know, Bobrovsky's sometimes a question mark. I think over the last few years he's kind of settled down and played a bit more with a bit more consistency. But I mean, when you can get goaltenders like Hellebuck, I mean, Sorokin's definitely on his way there. I mean, Shesterkin. Always messed that one up. You know, he can play some good hockey as well, you know? So if they can really get that consistency, it makes all the difference when it comes to the playoffs, all the difference. So, and you know, I mean, Colorado, I mean, yeah, you got to keep your eye on a couple of the Jets players, but I mean, they're thinking about Hellebuck all the way. How are we going to beat him? How are we going to make a move around? How are we going to get those holes open? How are we? That's probably all of what they're talking about, because they don't exactly have the most impressive defensive core. And up front, I mean, it's really a top six kind of team. I mean, they'll grind you out, but Colorado. I mean, I'm sure all the game planning right now is Hellebuck, Hellebuck, Hellebuck.
All right, let's talk about you were mentioning goaltending, so let's talk about Edmonton. And again, the bridesmaid, but never quite a bride, so to speak. what are your thoughts about Edmonton?
McDavid was out last week, and it's still McDavid all the way. You know, that's they're getting better. I think their defensive core is getting stronger, slowly. But it's steadier. Skinner has once they made the coaching change, he seemed to really find his game. And it's still McDavid. So if they're able to shut out in any way possible McDavid, you know, Draisaitl can still do a good job. But after that, it just, I don't know. I watched a bit of their games last week and it was just like, it's not the same team. It is literally not the same team. And it's not like they knew McDavid would be out for like a month. Right. It's like, you know, you got to keep it going for about a week or two. And it's just, I don't know, man. He's a terrific player, right? Best in the league. But I mean, they're relying on him so much.
That's what I was going to say. They're relying on him. And there's people like Evander Kane who could pick up the slack and who doesn't seem to be picking up the slack. They go out and get Adam Henrique. I think Adam Henrique's best days are behind him. I'll be blunt about it. I don't think he's the player he once was. But I think it's the same story that we've said for a lot of the years that we've been previewing the playoffs, is that you don't have any secondary scoring for Draisaitl and McDavid. It's them and them only and everybody else. I mean, Zach Hyman this year, you know, how many goals did you say he had? But that was
Was feeding him?
That's right. I was going to say that. Yeah.
It's those things, man. Where you when you look at teams that win the cup, you have your top forwards for sure. But if they're cut out for whatever reason, especially road games where you don't get the first line change. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're able to play against a team that'll shut you down. I mean, like you said, somebody has to pick up the slack. You know, maybe Kane, once they're in the playoffs, I mean, he likes that physical hockey. Maybe it'll help. But, I mean, last week, I mean, I was watching him play. I'm like, Jesus, guys, come on. I know that you already have a spot in the playoffs, but I don't know. I mean, pick up the slack a bit. I mean, I know McDavid's not there, but, geez, I mean, I thought it looked pretty bad. For a team that's scored as many goals and has a solid chance in the playoffs, theoretically, it looked pretty bad.
And I think that's the double-edged sword for many of these teams, is that you feel like, I guess, that they don't want to burn guys out, so to speak. So, you know, we're in the playoffs. We could take it easy. But is that the right thing to do? Because, again, I feel like when it comes to the playoffs, it's all about momentum.
Exactly. That's my feeling too. I mean, should we sit this player out? Should we do? Is like, no. I mean, have him play less during the game, fine. Mm-hmm. But don't have a player set out a game or two. If there was a lot of talk about that with Matthews, you know, should he go for the 70 or should they sit him down? Just instead of having him play 20 minutes, have him play 12. You know, give him the power play time, give him so he'll have chances to get to 70, and you know, you don't have as many. You don't have as many chances of him getting injured, which you wouldn't want to. But if you sit him out, I never understood that. And the same thing. I mean, if you're gonna go for the playoffs, you got to get your grit out. And if you are playing your bottom six more, then okay, no problem. But taking it easy, nah, man. It's and again, I don't know. Maybe they were just. I don't know. Like I said, I was watching him play. I'm like, I'm not getting Stanley Cup vibes here. And you're missing one player. I get very good player, but you should still be managing something in theory. Because again, I mean, if McDavid gets injured, or if Dreisaitl is injured again, like he was over the last few years, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're getting there, but definitely they still have a lot of work to do. That's for sure.
Well, let's talk about Dallas. Dallas is maybe probably going to be taking on Vegas, which should be a great series as well. And, of course, we will see the resurrection of Mark Stone.
Yeah.
He'll feel better here any day now, Luke. Any day now. He'll feel great.
Oh, he's already practicing. He's just he has like that other colored jersey, so they can't hit him. You know that's going to be coming up in meetings in the next few years when the CBA is going to be up. And I mean, it's just
it's preposterous and ludicrous and just downright dumb.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of things like that. I mean, Montreal is a team right now that is still paying Carey Price. I mean, he's never going to play again, right? And I mean, it doesn't have the same impact, but the way that it impacts, you're allowed a certain limit of salary cap, even in the off season, right? So you're allowed a percentage over the salary cap. Well, you still have that $10 million that pops up at the end of every year. You know, he's never going to play again. Just there has to be another way around it. And I guess I get that, you know, services, and he still shows up and he's still the face of Montreal Canadiens from time to time. But it's just like, it's over. It's over. Right. So in this case, the same thing. I mean, is he going to come back? Yes or no? If it's no, then okay, fine. Well, if it's, well, you know, maybe if they will, then forget about it. I mean, they're going to have to negotiate another way around it. And you know, maybe it's just so happens that Tampa and Vegas are the ones that coincidentally, you know, have had the occasion to use the CBA in that way. But it's, man, yeah. And it's always the Mark Stone. He's never been my favorite player, but it's just like, you're not helping. We like you, man.
Well, I think Dallas is going to be a tough team, I think, coming out of the West. I think that they've certainly made some moves and they've been playing very, very well. And this is the thing that I do somewhat marvel at. They don't really have like that superstar player. They don't have, I mean, Jason Robertson is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I'm not underselling him, but they're like the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're here, man. We're here. We're not flashy. We're not fancy. We're just going to get the job done. You know, we got Ottinger in goal. We got, you know, Lindell, you know, on the blue line. Robertson up front. We got plenty of supporting cast. I think that Dallas is primed to go pretty deep this year.
I'd be curious to see. I didn't pull it out, but I'm thinking of Dallas's main core, and they're probably amongst the oldest ones in the league, kind of like Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I don't know. Maybe that speaks for itself. Where you're not as spectacular as you used to be, but you're just so freaking effective that you go under the radar. And hey, look at me! I'm at the top of my division. You know,
because
again, I mean, I'd like to say something about Dallas, but I think you pretty much just said it all. They're never in the news. They don't seem to be in the highlight reels. They're just smart, effective. When I saw them up there, I'm like, what am I going to say about the Dallas? I don't know what to say about them. You
know? And you're absolutely right. Pavelski, Sagan, and Ben, certainly Ben, not young guys, but they figured out a way to how to use them to get the maximum results they can out of those three.
Yeah, no, exactly. And just, yeah, it's just when you look at a team that just a few years ago, they seemed to be on that, or at least, you know, the analysts were starting to say that, oh, okay, well, they got to start thinking about rebuilding. Well, apparently not. Apparently they just had to figure a couple of things out, change a few pieces, and there they are, right?
Yeah.
It's because again, that was, I mean, they were having the same talk as they are with Pittsburgh, saying, you know, the core is too old and this and that. Well, hang on. I mean, if they're still decent players, if they're still giving you some good hockey, if they're not, you know, if they're not too burdened with injuries, you know, just get some players around them, help them, you know, support your core, and you're still going to be good for a couple of runs.
One team we didn't mention that is in the Western playoffs, the Los Angeles Kings. Again, much like I said before, when it came to Vancouver, I have not seen a lot of LA Kings games. In fact, I haven't seen any of them. So to me, they're kind of a mystery. They have some key players in key positions that can certainly swing their fortunes one way or the other. But overall, even with my ignorance of not knowing them as in depth as some people do, I don't see them getting out of the first round.
They're the team that really relies on their defense as you know, team defense, not necessarily their D core, but really team defense. I actually saw them this year at the Bell Center, and they were wearing those god awful silver helmets.
Oh,
yeah, they don't look good on TV, and they're even worse when you see them live. But they were playing, I don't know if they're still doing it as much, but they were playing a 1-3-1 system, which is, it's, you know, the trap plus, I guess you could say, which New Jersey used in the late 90s, early 2000s. And that helps against teams that are a bit slower or that don't have as much offensive creativity or that won't just freaking flatten you out. Because, anyways, one of the things I've sort of noticed while I was there is that you're able to shut down the neutral zone effectively. So the other team will either they lose the puck or either they have to send it deep. Well, you know, if you send it deep, but you have Evander Kane chasing after you, you know, he's going to make you pay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Whereas when they were playing against Montreal, Montreal really doesn't have that type of player. I mean, they have Josh Anderson. That's about it. But if you take a look, I mean, if they're playing against Edmonton, they got a couple of big guys that can run you over. So it'll be fun to see. But I mean, Kopitar, he's doing all right. Dano's doing all right. But it's really their team game. And if right now they're set, maybe play the Oilers. You know, I mean, they're going to have a hard time with McDavid coming off the wing at the speed they are, because the thing about the 1-3-1 is that you're not skating with your opponent. You're basically waiting for your opponent to run into you, and McDavid doesn't give a shit. He'll go through you. Yeah. You won't even realize, and he'll be he'll already be scoring goals. So we'll see. But they're a question mark. I mean, they had a huge, big start to the season, and then one of the biggest gaps any team has had this year, like halfway through the season. So. It's still the same team. I don't think they did make any changes in the trade deadline. Not much, I think.
No, not of anything of note. That was the surprise. They were one of those few teams that really didn't do much when it came time to for the trade deadline. So out of the West, is it safe for me to assume you really like Colorado, or am I wrong on that?
No, I like Colorado, and I think they're probably a little pissed from last year, kind of like the Boston Bruins. I you know, if they haven't forgotten it, I think they're going to be all in for sure. And probably, you know, as much as I don't like the way that they set up the playoffs now, where, you know, number two is playing against number three, because a lot of times your best matchups are in that first round. Mm-hmm. You are getting some very good matchups, but if they pass that first round with Winnipeg, I mean, they're going to be hard to play for the rest. And Vegas, I mean, I know they're getting Stone back. I mean, they have a lot of good players, but they just barely squeezed in So it'll be fun to see if they have enough juice to make it further. And again, I mean, their goaltending iffy at best. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. But yeah, Colorado for me is probably on top there. And I honestly wouldn't put the Stars too far behind.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I'm gonna go with Vancouver. I think Vancouver could come out of the West just the way that they've played. Does that really make it fancy for television networks to have Vancouver? But that's a conspiracy theory for another time. But I really like Vancouver. I think they've played well. I think that they got the momentum. Though I won't lie, I would love to see Winnipeg too. I would really like to see the Peg go far and get out of the West. But I'm going to stick with Vancouver. And you did mention the playoffs real quick. I'll mention real quick that listening to another hockey podcast, the idea was floated out there that the NHL should maybe change the playoffs to a 1v16. So top 16 teams make it, and you bracket them based on winning percentage and or tiebreakers, which is cool because you could theoretically get like weird oddball San Jose versus Rangers first round games because it all depends on your record. But, you know, it's logistically maybe not something the NHL would want to do.
Yeah, I doubt it. I mean, a few years ago, Bettman was on. He'll typically be on like one of the last hockey nights in Canada of the season, and he was asked, you know, if there's ever a possibility of having a Canadian division, and he said no because of exactly the logistics and, you know, the time zones and all of that, and with COVID we got a Canadian division, and it is hell. You know, I mean, in the sense, I mean, not as bad for the West, but for the East, I mean, you won't see your team for how long, right? Because they're playing at 9, 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. So I doubt that they'll do it. I like the idea. I mean, I wouldn't mind just going back to one place eight. That at least, you know, you get something. Because, I mean, I'm looking at the point totals here, and, you know, we were talking about the Islanders. I mean, they're 92 points, right? Carolina Hurricanes right above them, 111.
There's a big disparity, you know, there.
Yeah, you were talking about that last spot right now. Washington has 89 points. Mm-hmm. They're 3 points behind, you know. But you get that sweet spot right there. No, you should be fighting for your spot way with the other ones. You know, I mean, even Tampa has 96 points. They have more points. But they're number seven right now. They got the first wild card. So I'd go back to that. I hate it when they decide. And even before then, you remember where if you were the first seed in your division, you get one of the top spots. You get like one of the three top spots. So you get home ice advantage. And I think it was the Devils who ended up first in the Metro. But the Metro was just horrible, horrible that year. So they ended up being like third, where they should have been like seven or eighth in points total.
Yeah, because the Atlanta Thrashers were notorious for that because they got the Southeastern.
Yeah.
They won the Southeast, and then they got the automatic number two or three, and it's like, no, they suck because the Southeast was terrible those years.
They got kicked out in four games. Yeah. It's just like, just have them set up. You already have the rankings. Like, why complicate?
Yeah.
And, you know, I get for a show for your first round. I mean, the first round's going to be fun, but you're losing a whole bunch of really good teams in the first round. That's the part that kind of, I mean, maybe it's that extra push that some players need, but it's just, you know, as far as a spectator's concerned, I mean, that first round is going to be great. The second one, and then you have to wait for like, you know, conference finals or maybe the cup until you actually have a decent showdown again. But I don't like it. I mean, if you're going to do that, it's like, why have everybody competing against everybody else and having all the points? It's just, there's something that doesn't work for me in that at all. Not at all.
Well, and also too, you look at it from a financial standpoint, you're losing television ratings. I mean, when you have for years, when you had the Capitals and Pens in the first round, well, in the next round, you have the Pens and the Senators. just doesn't carry the same amount of weight. I'm sorry, Ottawa fans. I no disrespect.
Well, no. I mean, you're trying to sell the sport with guys like Crosby, Malkin, right. Ovechkin. If you have them face off, which is that's great, but it'd be better off in 2 weeks from now,
right?
When they've already played a round and people have seen them, and you know, I agree. It's there's something odd there that, and if it happens that way, then it happens that way. But forcing teams to play one another, I mean, as much as I hate Toronto, it kind of sucks that they already have to play Florida in the sense that, you know, I think Florida has a better chance of winning than Toronto, but I mean, you're going to be missing out on Matthews and Marner and Nylander now playing more playoff hockey. And, you know, as much as I hate to say it, they're fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Right. So you're basically forcing those players out because of your format, where in, you know, in retrospect, I mean, they'd probably be playing what they're 102. So they'd be playing like Tampa or maybe the Islanders even, you know, so you get an extra round with those all-stars. I get the idea of the matchups, but it just doesn't work for me in the long run. Right, especially when it's really nice outside. You're mid-May, you know, you got other shit to do. There's hockey on. You're like, you know, I'm gonna watch Dallas and Nashville. You know,
yeah, you're right. Yeah. Hey, well, speaking of other bright ideas from the NHL, we got to talk about it because I love the rag on this franchise, but it looks like I will no longer be allowed to. The Arizona Coyotes are relocating. This came out over the weekend. So what are your thoughts about this situation?
It's about time. I mean, and to be honest, I mean, I was pissed off back in the day. I mean, much younger, but back in the day when the Jets had to move and when the Quebec Nordiques had to move. You know, at least for the Nordiques, it came out all right. I mean, Colorado has been a very good team for the last since forever. They had a couple of bad seasons, but mostly they've been a very competitive team. But to see, and especially when they took the teams out of Quebec and Winnipeg, most of the arguments were not enough money was involved. Not enough companies were buying boxes, season tickets, not enough. You're talking about a team that was owned for 3 or 4 years by the NHL. You know, they're playing in a 4,000 seater arena. They're playing. How many chances are you going to get? You know, that's sort of the, I don't know. Maybe I'm still pissed off that they took away Canadian teams, but I just look at it. I'm like, and even Atlanta. I mean, we knew Atlanta wasn't doing that well, but it still seemed like it happened so fast. Whereas this has just been like, I don't know, just pulling it out and just stretching. And it's just like, just fucking kill it already. It's dead, you know?
Well, and you can look at it this way. A few years ago, they had that referendum on the ballot in Arizona to build that new arena, and the voters turned it down. So that right there should have been the indication to Bettman, this is not working.
When he had to show up at a city council to vet for the team, I mean, I wonder if that wasn't the last straw where he kind of went like, okay, if you don't get your stuff straight now, we're going to have to do something else, right? Because it's one thing to be in the offices in New York and pushing on the team. And you know, it's apparently part of his contract where he has to develop the sport in non-traditional markets. So that's like his baby. You know, that was the first big step. So he wants it to work. But now he has to go out of his offices in front of the city council to try to, you know, just spruce up everything. It's like, no, we're going to be in where this, and I think that was probably the last step where they went like, okay, this isn't working anymore. And the Utah Jazz owner, I mean, he's been in and out of the news with regards to the NHL for a few years now. So I guess it seemed like, hey, you guys are going to be building something because you want to get the Olympics back. You're going to, I mean, it just seems like a sure bet. Whereas, like when we were talking before the recording, it came out this week that the Coyotes aren't paying their hotel bills. And a few years ago, they got kicked out because they weren't paying their taxes. I mean, it's not a good look.
You know? I don't want to have anything to do with somebody as a business partner if that's the way they handle themselves.
You know. Exactly. It's like, okay, so I'm going to sell you the, how about we get together. We're going to bid on this land. So we're probably going to be paying more than we should. And then we're going to build all of this. And there's going to be billions and billions involved. And oh yeah. But you know, just forget the fact that we haven't paid our taxes, or just forget the fact that we can't flip the bill for our hotel rooms when the team travels. It's yeah. I mean, it's gotten to a point where it's just, I personally thought the NHL owning the team was ridiculous at that point in time, but that's almost a decade ago already.
Wow. So,
yeah.
Man, time goes quick.
Yeah.
look, you know, I think for anybody that hasn't read it, you need to go read the statement that the mayor of Scottsdale put out, because there was this infrastructure to deal with North Phoenix and Scottsdale, and you read it and you just can see without a question in your mind that the mayor of Scottsdale did not want anything to do with this franchise whatsoever. I mean, even they were going to build infrastructure and he didn't even want that. He didn't, just leave our water alone. You're not using it, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, it's good that at least we'll get closure on this, and it'll be good for Salt Lake City, because they're getting another professional sports team, which Ryan Smith has been very adamant about adding more and more to it. And it can only be good for the league that you have now a franchise in Utah. You don't have to rearrange a lot. I think that they can just stay right there because Arizona was in the Central, correct? Yeah, they were in the Central.
Yeah. They won't have to play around with that too much. That's probably one of the reasons, because I know there's like on and off talk. Not necessarily that there's a group of buyers that would be interested, but there's a lot of talk about Houston because of just the sheer size of Houston, which would be a decent commercial market. But I think that's one of their options where, you know, we're going to try it. They're supposedly going to build a new arena and all of that. So, you know, let's just see what happens. And it's not that much of a headache schedule wise for them as well. Mm-hmm. So,
and they move into the Delta Center. It's 14,000. That's how it can fit. That's much better than 3,800.
It's again, I mean, I know Quebec City is not the only city in North America that has a building just waiting for it. But when you see what they're doing, it's seriously, you know, 4,000 seats. You were barely able to put your logo on the ice. You're sharing the ice with another team. It's
and they had to have separate facilities for everything because of the NCAA rules. They couldn't have, they couldn't share that. It was a clown show. That's basically what it was. It's a clown show. And thank goodness it's over. That's all.
Maybe if it would have came through in Tempe, maybe they would have tolerated another year or so of that. But the fact that they're just like, oh yeah, well, we're going to sort of be betting on some land over there. You know, don't think about Scottsdale not wanting us at all. We're going to figure something out when we get there. Well, you know, figure this out. Yeah. I think the owners just got together and like, you know, screw this, man. I mean, this is ridiculous. If they had a plan, then fine, a year or two in that small arena, maybe. But I mean, like I said earlier, I mean, we have junior ranks that are bigger than that in Canada and they're full. So at the end of the day, it's like, it has to stop. It just has to. And it sucks for the fans. I mean, they have some good fans over there, but you know, unfortunately not enough. And they don't have any solid plans for the future either. So I think as much as it probably sucks for the players and team and the whole staff that they're going to have to move. I saw a report earlier today. I mean, they don't have that many players not coming back next year. They mostly have RFAs. So okay. Everybody's moving to Utah. So that sucks. But I mean, if you're going to be playing at least with the big boys, I mean, you're going to have fans there and you're going to have a lot of fans. If you're bringing a team to that, to Utah, they haven't had a team. I mean, people are going to turn out, especially for next year. And they seem on the ice, at least they seem to be turning it around slowly. I mean, what I saw this year seemed a lot more promising. They didn't get as many of the results that they wanted to have, but it seems a bit more promising on the ice. And if they could just stop trading away every decent player that they draft, that would also help. But
well, and you have to also consider that I'm sure all of this has been background noise that has impacted how the team has played.
Yeah,
I mean, it has to. you're hearing it day in and day out, I'm sure, out there, and you're struggling on the road or you're struggling at home to put together wins. I mean, it can only add to the stress and anxiety and frustration for everybody involved. While it does suck that they may have to move, this might be a very good thing for many of the players and staff.
Yeah, I think so. And again, I mean, it's just, it's the track record. You know, if we're only that, okay, we can't sell tickets, you know, or if some bad luck happened and we don't have an area to play in right now, or we don't, and it's not even that, it's just like, you're just accumulating and accumulating bad things over and over and over. I mean, how many times have they changed ownership since they've been there? It's nuts. Mm-hmm. You remember when Wayne Gretzky was one of the owners?
Yeah, I do.
You know?
I do.
I mean, it's been that long since, and it was bad back then. You know, it just looked like some sort of country club. He got a bunch of his buddies. They played bad. I mean, the play was horrible. But it just seemed like, oh, we're going to go out there, we're going to take it easy, then we're going to retire type of scenario. And then it just got worse and worse. And yeah, I was reading an article yesterday, and it was exactly that. You know, it didn't pay their taxes. They were owned by the NHL. They're just going down to history. And you're like, how did this last so long? I'm pretty sure the MLB, NFL, NBA, they wouldn't tolerate this type of stuff for that long.
No, the NFL would never let this happen, ever. I mean, MLB maybe, because of the whole Athletics fiasco that they're playing in a minor league baseball stadium in Sacramento for this year.
Oh, yeah, I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not – they're because the stadium's not ready in Vegas, so they're going to
Went like, shit, they're doing it in the NHL. Why can't we do it for a year?
Hey, it's working out for Arizona. Let's try it, guys. All right, well, you know what, Luke, we're getting up there in our time length, so let's end with the question that everybody wants to know. Who do you think is winning the Stanley Cup this year?
I'm hoping Colorado.
Okay.
I'd love it to come back to Canada, have the cup back in Canada, but I don't know, man. I don't know if the Canucks can keep playing the way they're playing when the rough stuff starts. Mm-hmm. And the same goes for Edmonton. Like we said, I mean, that's a one trick pony. So if they're, I don't know, like Colorado seems to be, yeah, that's my bet.
Okay. I'm going to pick the Bruins because, as I said, I think that they've impressed me the most, that they got all the tools. I just feel like motivated because of the embarrassment last year. So I'm going to go with the Bruins. So we shall see who is correct. By the beginning of June, if I remember correctly, when the schedule was supposed to come out for that particular final series. But so anything you want to say real quick, Luke? Anything you want to plug? Anything you got going on?
No, man. No, I'm good.
Okay.
Been running all over the place with hockey this year and all that. And I only had to coach one team. So that was that was good. But yeah, no, it's No, all is good. All is good.
Okay. All right, man. All right. Well, hey, thank you very much for coming on. I appreciate it, man. It's always fun talking hockey with you.
Yeah, same here. Always a pleasure.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Luke Landry talking about the upcoming NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. And I hope you enjoyed the episode. And I want to thank Luke for taking some time out of his busy schedule to sit down and talk to me. I always look forward to talking to Luke about hockey. So it's always a pleasure to do these episodes. And with that, maybe you have a comment or question for me about this episode, or any episode for that matter, well, let me tell you where you can contact me. First, if you're old school, you can shoot me an email. johnorlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. Or you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. And last but not least, you can leave me a message through the Facebook, Instagram, or the Threads account for the PVDcast. Any of those three will be an easy way to get in touch with me. And let me tell you also about all the different avenues for hearing the PVDcast. just in case you want to let some folks know about it, of which I will greatly appreciate if you help spread the word. But the PVDcast is available at pvdcast.com, which is the online home of yours truly. It's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting app search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you listen to one of those major podcasting outlets, please rate and review. It means a lot to me. It helps me out in the algorithm. It lets those outlets know you're listening. And look, you can give me as many stars as you like, and you can leave me a short comment. You don't have to write a book. Love the episode. It was great. Whatever you want to write, but you don't have to go on and on and on. All right? But it does help me out in the algorithm, so it's super important. And, you know, while we're at it, rating and reviewing, of course, the trifecta is subscribing so that you never miss an episode of the PVD cast. But there is one final easy way to hear each new episode, and that is through a little Facebook broadcast I like to do every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. It's an easy, quick way to check out every new episode of the PVD cast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you one more time for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.